Good morning, this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's a few minutes past seven. Welcome to our last ever breakfast show.
That's true. Whatever happens, we will never again wake up this early for 2 weeks on the trot.
Never. It's true.
Even if there's some kind of crisis, even if, like, the world, even if they shift
Man,
the days...
Man, if the Big British Castle needed us, we would.
That's true.
Don't you think? You've got to serve the Big British Castle. You know, we're very lucky to have been given brief tenure here at the Big British Castle. And at the end of today's show, we're going to go back into our little hovel of muddy huts.
Yeah.
And carry on whittling pipes.
That's right.
And baking pigeons, or whatever we do normally.
Sieving mud. That's what I've
four
got
four rocks that
today.
Can be made into necklaces.
Smooth pebbles.
And sold in the market.
I found a smooth pebble.
Oh, well done. We'll thread it on the necklace and sell it in the market.
Thank you. Please don't beat me.
I will beat you.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that's what today's got in store for me. Do you know what? I'm wondering...
What has today got in store for you?
Sieving pebbles.
Oh, pebbles. Okay.
Yeah. I'm wondering if my pass, because you know when you get here to the BBC, they give you like a lovely pass. And on the back of the pass, there's instructions for how to behave at the BBC. Have you ever read your instructions?
No.
Have you seriously not?
No.
BBC values. Trust is the foundation of the BBC.
I've got those.
We are independent, impartial and honest. Says this on the back of every BBC pass. Audiences are at the heart of everything we do. We take pride in delivering quality and value for money. Creativity is the lifeblood of our organisation. And it goes on for
my
quite a long time.
My pass is an older pass.
What does yours say?
Because I've been working here at the castle for longer than you, Adam.
Yeah.
Mine says, this card is the property of the BBC.
And then,
if found, please post to blah, blah, blah. And then it has fire safety tips.
No values?
No, I don't need those values.
Oh, no, you have. You've got a little one at the bottom.
It just says, do not use lifts.
It just says, do not use lifts. That's a little bit of advice. You see...
That's because I was hired here as a lift maintenance worker.
And how long do you think these passes will allow us to swish through doors at the BBC?
I think at the end of the show today they'll stop functioning.
They'll immediately stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
So all our plans for invading other shows are going to have to be, shelved.
We'll tell you more about what we've got coming up in the show in just a second, but I think it's time for music, because that's what Six Music's all about, after all. Incidentally, you heard Madness with Tomorrow's Just Another Day kicking off the show, and now here's the Kaiser Chiefs with The Angry Mob. That's a bit of Kaiser Chiefs satire there, and The Angry Mob, the real Angry Mob, will now be firmly put in their place by that song, I think, Joe. You know what I mean? There's a lot of Daily Mail readers out there who are going to hear that song and think, wait a second, he's talking about me. What have I been doing with my life?
An angry mob gets carried away.
That's true.
It can no longer see a situation in a calm and measured manner. It's overexcited. People start hyperventilating. And they push things too far.
They push things over
as
well.
They end up ripping things apart and pushing them over.
That's true.
An angry mob is not a way to run a country.
No.
No.
Is that the lyrics of the song, all that stuff you just said?
No.
Oh.
It's just things I'm thinking.
That's amazing.
In my head, because Adam and I are using this breakfast show as a platform to get into politics.
That's true, actually. You know, because some people would imagine that mainly we're obsessed with trivial, superficial things.
We're thinking, if Tony Bellaya and Gordon Brune can do it, and what's his name? Mr. Pooter? David Cameron? Why can't we do it? We can do it.
Yeah, if I tell you the bottom line, if David Cameron can do it, we can flipping do it.
I tell you the planks, my planks. Do you want to know my planks?
Yeah, go on.
Stop it.
Don't do that.
It's the one of them.
Yeah.
The main one is stop it.
Stop it.
That's my campaign.
Policy
That's
number
our
one.
Campaigning slogan. Right, stop it. Adam and Joe say stop it.
Yeah. My next policy, put that back.
Our third policy is shh. Just shh.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
Yeah. That's it. Those are our three prongs.
I've got one more prong.
Stop it, put that back, shh.
And sit down.
And just sit down.
Yeah.
Just sit down.
Because that'll solve a lot of problems. You know,
just sit down.
You get an unruly teenager and he's hell-bent on bashing and...
On black-blatting
and bashing.
With his strap.
Exactly. Or his gat. Or his gack. I don't know what he's using. And you say, hey, sit down. And then he sits down and gives him a chance to think about what he's done.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Policies, right there. Now, folks, it won't be a surprise to you after that little spiel there that BBC Six Music has been shortlisted in the Best Radio Station category at this year's Digital Music Awards.
They're the most important awards.
They're the most important awards in the world. They're the music.
They're the ones everyone's heard of.
They're the Digital Music Oscars.
The Doskers.
The Doskers.
The Dmoskers.
The winner will be decided by you, the public. The AKA the angry mob. So, to vote for Six Music, go to bbc.co.uk/Six Music. And, also, don't forget while you're there to vote for, either my track or Joe's track in today's, Band-Aid Face-Off.
It says on the script that you were supposed to say also check out the Calvin Harris session for Anita Rani on Tuesday, but you cleverly switched it to our competition.
I was going to talk about Calvin Harris's a little final
thing. Don't bother. It's more important to vote in our competition.
Okay, yeah. So right now, get on to bbc.co.uk/6music, okay? And while we're playing this next track by the marvellous Morcheeba, sort all that out. Vote for Six Music for the Digital Music Awards and vote for myself or Joe for today's Band-Aid. Here's Morcheeba. Morcheeba?
Yeah, featuring Dom Jolly there on backing vocals with Trigger Hippie.
Why do you say Dom Jolly?
Because it sounds like Trigger Happy.
Oh.
It's that simple. It's that simple. It's early in the morning.
Yeah.
Simple connections.
Yeah.
DJs.
You want Morcheeba?
No, it's wrong to have Morcheeba.
Yeah.
You've got to have modest amounts of Cheeba. Everything in moderation in life.
Absolutely, exactly.
You know?
A little bit of what you fancy does you good.
And helps you panties.
Is that the end of that?
Yeah, that's
aphorism.
Actually the end of that aphorism.
Didn't know that.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. A very good morning to you. It's a Friday morning. Friday, the day that doesn't really count. You know, yes, you're working, but not really. You don't really have to bother.
No.
You know, you can work in a slapdash lackadaisical fashion while listening to the radio and like wearing brightly coloured clothing and stuff like that. And go home early,
go to the pub, have a drink with your friends,
and then don't watch Big Brother tonight.
No, why?
Just because
on principle.
Yeah, on principle.
Yeah, go out and do something less boring instead.
Yeah? Exactly.
Sitting at home watching TV, turn it off. It's no good to me. So do that. And also, it's a lovely day in London town. I don't know about the rest of the country.
It's going to be a cracker.
It's going to be a good weekend, though, right? I'm just making that up.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's nothing wrong with being positive.
Yeah.
It's wrong. But listen, we've got great stuff coming up in the show, listeners. We've got terrific music. We've already had terrific music, but in the rest of the hour, we've got some Smashing Pumpkins, some José González. Is that how you say it?
You say José.
José González. Some Modest Mouse. I'm looking forward to that. Some Beck. Oh, it's going to be great. And of course, we've got Serial Thriller coming up at 8. And the most important aspect of the show is, of course, the climax of Band-Aid.
Mm.
It was Sean Keaveney's brilliant segment where he kind of got a new band and you had to choose whether to play them or not. We've kind of hijacked it for our own ends. Adam and I have written a song each. There's clips of each on the BBC Six Music website. Go there, listen to each clip, vote for which is your favourite. We're going to play the winner at the end of the show.
And I think we'll play a clip a little later on as well, won't we? Yeah, I'll give you a little on-air reminder
it's
there.
It's European Supermarket versus Jane's Brain.
Jane's
two very different
Brain.
Track. One's rock, one's sort of Euro house.
And
very different subjects.
How's the voting looking at the moment?
Jenny's got to
flag
check
up the things.
Is that true?
Have I made a little comeback there?
He's made an enormous comeback. It's 61% for Adam and 39% for Joe. Is that true?
Are you sure?
But it was the other way around yesterday.
Yesterday Joe had 64%. That's not very good because, shall I tell you a secret, listeners?
What?
My track's 30 seconds long.
Have you been voting for yourself at home?
I assumed I was going to lose, so I only did 30 seconds worth.
And then so earlier in the week, our producer Lisa said, is it only 30 seconds? I thought that was just a clip. Could you, like, finish the song? So I said, yeah, I'll finish it, no problem. But then I saw the voting yesterday, and it was like 64% in European supermarket's favour. I thought, oh, that's okay, I'm not going to have to finish it then, because it's never going to win.
So if Jane's Brain wins today, I'm in
trouble. We're all in trouble.
We might have to play European Supermarket anyway. But that's not how it works.
Hey, the voting hasn't closed yet, right?
All right.
There's still a couple of hours of voting left.
Go to the BBC Six Music website, listen to those two snatches, and vote for the one, what is your favourite?
Now, here's some music. This is Gossip with Jealous Girls. Sounds like an excellent show. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, our last day covering for Sean Keaveney. He'll be back with you next week. And right now, it's time for our first plunder of the John Peel Session Archives. And I've gone for a track by one of my favourite new wave acts, Magazine. They formed from the sort of Ashes. Well, not the Ashes, because they carried on. But Howard Devoto, lead singer of Magazine, used to be in the Buzzcocks. And he was one of the founder members of the Buzzcocks. But he left after their first single came out, I think. And just went on, because it was all, he didn't really like punk that very much.
Didn't
you know?
He?
No, he wasn't impressed by the shouting and the spitting and that kind of behaviour. He was too cerebral for that sort of thing. And
I'm similar.
And too perverse. Yeah, you would have split off as well. You're perverse?
I'm not perverse. No, but I'm too cerebral.
You are too cerebral. That's why you'd never make a good punk rocker. So no. Howard went on to form Magazine, a fantastically snooty, cerebral, and occasionally quite pretentious band, but all in a good way, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Some of their albums are amazing. Real Life is the one to check out if you're a Magazine novice. I can't remember if this track that they're going to play on the Peel Sessions is on Real Life or Secondhand Daylight, but it's called Touch and Go. And check out the mannered vocals on the man. I really like someone who maybe is not a great classical singer, but just goes nutty with the voice. Do you know what I'm saying?
Uses what he's got to the best effect.
Exactly. Like Kevin Rowland, for example.
Oh, yeah.
A brilliant gymnast vocally.
Mm.
And David Byrne also, you know, not a, a powerful singer, but very mannered and
Celine Dion, Bette Midler.
Characteristic.
Streisand.
Yeah. All good examples of what I'm talking about. So check out Howard Devoto here singing with Magazine. This is called Touch and Go from 1978. John Peel Session. Great stuff. That's Magazine from their 1978 Peel Session. That's a track called Touch and Go. Incidentally, Howard Devoto's solo album, Jerky Versions of the Dream, is well worth checking out.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just talking rubbish. If you like kind of synthy pop music with a little arty edge to it, check it out. It's one of my favourite albums ever.
Now yeah, what?
Oh, no, carry on. I was just saying now...
One of the few things, sort of new we've done in the last couple of weeks has been our Text the Nation jingle.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of invented the segment on the Monday that we started. Mm. By Tuesday, it had the jingle.
You came up with the name Text the Nation, didn't you, Joe?
Yeah, it was a brilliant satire of Test the Nation.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then I went home and I worked on the jingle.
For how long?
I worked on that jingle for half of an hour.
Half of an hour? And then by the next day, we received the news that it had become the nation's favourite feature.
Mm.
I received that news from Adam, who received that news from his
brain
imagination.
In my mind.
And we were able to announce it to the country. Very exciting. And now, in the days that have passed, the Text the Nation jingle has spread like a kind of a disgusting disease around people's brains, like a debilitating illness. And we've had various emails requesting, I mean, for instance, here's one from Emma.
Mm.
Been loving the show over the past 2 weeks. She puts the G on loving.
Good.
I'm unfairly making her sound like Davina McCall.
Good.
Been loving the show over the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
My two boys have been singing the Text the Nation jingle.
How would you sing it, though?
How old are the boys? If they're children, then I think we've got something to answer for. If they're kind of surly, lackadaisical, late teenagers...
It might have snapped them out of their torpor.
...leave home, yeah, then that's more acceptable, maybe.
Yeah, normally they come down, they're just monosyllabic and surly, and then suddenly they're coming down going, Text the Nation, text, text,
anyway,
text.
More of this later. We better go to some news, because it's coming up to 7:30. Here is the news with Callum and Adrian.
Wow. That's the Wiggles with Ready, Steady, Go.
That's like waking up and swigging half a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
Listening to that. That's Generation X with Ready, Steady, Go. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music on our final breakfast show for our filling-in session for Sean W. Keaveney. Our filling-in session.
Mm, nicely put.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I like a little filling-in session.
Sean Keaveney will be enjoying his last couple of lions this morning.
Lions?
Yes, he loves to eat a lion
for
breakfast.
He eats lions? Well, that's grotesque.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
I mean,
he has them specially killed,
yeah,
flown over,
His wife plucks them.
Does she?
Yeah, it's quite a skilled job, especially getting the mane out.
Jamie, I saw Jamie Oliver cook some lions once.
Really?
Yeah, a little lion, cheeky little lion, and it's all right. Just get his claws out, bish, bish, bush, bush, call out the claws. Ooh, lovely cheeky lion. Oh, little
sounds
cheeky.
Just, that sounds just like Jamie Oliver.
It's a good impression, isn't it?
It's as if he's here.
Ooh, look, a lovely little bit of tail from the lion. Ooh, lovely cheeky. Fry it all up with a little bit of sauce. Ooh, lovely cheeky.
But we've hijacked Sean Keaveney's special segment, Band-Aid, and we've kind of twisted it for our own use. We've recorded a song each, Adam and me, and we're asking you to vote for the one you want us to play at the end of the show. Up until close of business yesterday, I was winning my song European Supermarket.
He's been winning all week.
I've been winning all week. Yeah. I was feeling cocky and confident. I thought I had it in the bag.
Yeah. I was on the run.
Typical British public with a sudden 11th hour sway towards the underdog.
Yeah, that's
suddenly
true,
falling in behind Eddie the Eagle Edwards or Tim Henman or whatever sad sack no-hoper catches their pathetic imagination.
Henman's not a no-hoper. He's just had a little run of bad luck, that's all. And now he's giving up. What's wrong with that?
Suddenly, the seesaw has sawseed the other way. And Adam is suddenly inexplicably winning with his 30-second track.
Shh, don't tell and don't remind people about that. I shouldn't have admitted it earlier on.
It's 60.44%, plays 39.56. That's literally the opposite of what it was yesterday.
Yeah, I know. But what a 30...
What have you been doing overnight?
What a 30 seconds there are... Listen, I considered going home and voting for myself on all my various computers.
Mm.
But I didn't do it. I
didn't
do
you?
It. I swear to you, I didn't do it.
And I think there's been a technical malfunction.
I didn't even a snafu.
So listen, listeners, it's amazingly important that you listen very carefully to these two clips of music. Who's are we going to play first? Adams. We're going to play Adams first. This is a song called... Well, why don't you explain the song, Adam?
This is a rock track. It's called Jane's Brain. And it's a little speculation about the things that might happen inside a woman's
brain.
It's
condescending to women.
No, it's condescending... A little bit condescending to a woman, Jane.
Right.
Here's Jane's Brain.
She'd use her brain to think of things that she didn't have. She'd think of cars, and she'd think of fancy dresses, and she'd think of big houses, and she'd think of cars.
You know,
it only lasts for 10 seconds longer than that.
20. And a lot of things are explained in those 20 seconds, and it takes like there's a whole load of stereo vocal effects that come in. And
put it this way, I want
good.
To hear it.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to win.
No, I can understand.
I want me to win.
What's yours called?
Mine's called European Supermarket. It's kind of a Euro house track about going shopping when you're on holiday in Europe and the phantasmagoria that is a European supermarket.
Shall we hear it?
Mm.
Would somebody help me, please? A mini break in Amsterdam. What's the flipping Dutch for ham?
European supermarket.
You were using all the box of tricks there, weren't you?
I'm using GarageBand.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy vocals and all that. I like it, though.
That's European Supermarket. So you know, go to the website, BBC Six Music, click on Adam's track or Joe's track. You can hear those little samples for yourself. And have a good long think, because, you know, this is the last thing we're going to play on the show. It's going to leave either a good or bad taste in people's mouth. It's going to resonate down the ages. So it's an important choice.
Exactly. Now, here's some proper music. This is the White Stripes with You Don't Know What Love Is.
The brilliant Stephen Merchant there on BBC Six Music. That's a really good show. You should listen to that.
It's a peach.
Yeah. Now, it's time for my archive session track, Joe's archive session track. And this is kind of going out to anybody who's about to get married.
Oh, yeah. Is it...
It's a warning.
Wet, wet, wet.
No, it's a warning.
What is it?
From the Funboy 3. It's a song called Tunnel of Love.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a bit of a depressing choice for our final show here on Friday. But I remember this coming out in 1983 when I was a kid and, you know, being quite shocked by it.
That's right. The trial separation worked and ended up in a divorce case.
Exactly. It's sort of like an episode of some grim soap opera.
Yeah.
And it's quite a chilling song. And, you know, it may be why I, so far in life, haven't got married.
Yeah, well, the line, the killer line is, you gave up your friends for a new way of life and ended up as ex-husband and wife.
Mm.
You've lost everything!
So, this is a sobering song. This is from the 16th of January, 1983, The Funboy 3 with Tunnel of Love.
Hmm, the irony.
Yeah, there we go. The Funboy 3 with the Tunnel of Love. A bit of gloomy flamenco there. And you know, I take back everything I said about marriage. I think it's a wonderful thing. And if anybody, I'm just thinking somebody out there might be getting married.
Right.
And maybe they heard me saying that and listened to that track and suddenly thought, what am I doing? It's unlikely.
It's pretty, it doesn't...
But just in case.
It doesn't hold its cards close to its chest, does it? It's pretty that well song. Anti-marriage. Yeah. But,
Is Terry Hall married?
I don't know.
I know he hangs out with Nick Heywood quite a bit.
Does he really?
Mm.
Nick Heywood.
Yeah.
He's a musical genius.
He is. They're both musical geniuses.
We did a little bit of filming with Nick Heywood ages ago, 10 years ago, over 10 years ago for our TV show. And
I think they both struggle with gloom.
Yeah.
They have gloom struggles.
Well, a lot of very talented people do, don't they?
I do.
Yeah, do you?
I struggle with the gloom.
No, you don't. But Nick Heywood, last time we saw him, he was pumped up like an action man.
Yeah, he's a muscle man.
He's a muscle guy.
He's hunkatronic.
Because...
he's hench.
Right. He used to be, what's
You know
hench?
That's a real word?
No.
You thought you made that word up, didn't you?
I thought
you?
I did, yeah.
But actually, it's a word young people use for like being buff, yeah.
Hench?
Yep.
Since when?
Since a few years, I think, I'm guessing. But at least 5 years or so, 4 or 5 years.
They may have got it off me then.
I think they might have.
They might have got it, I should have copyrighted it. But what was I going to say? Oh yes, no, I've been reading a brilliant book all about the post-punk scene, and it's called Rip It Up and Start Again by a journalist called Simon Reynolds. And it's all about the period 1978 to 1984, which he identifies as being a kind of golden era in really creative, different, revolutionary music in between punk and the end of punk and the beginning of the kind of Stock, Aitken and Waterman pop money-making years, you know
which,
what I mean?
Which I regard as a brilliant, innovative era.
What, the Stock, Aitken and Waterman years?
Yeah. I mean, that's for me when,
that's,
you know,
that's
things
Joe
start
Cornish's
picking
golden
up.
Age. But I think he, yeah, exactly. Roadblock. Ooh.
I did like that.
Roadblock. But anyway, in this brilliant book, which I really strongly recommend, called Rip It Up and Start Again, it's loads of little anecdotes and stories about all these amazing bands. And I think he says that Terry Hall had been dumped very shortly before he wrote that song, Tunnel of Love. Mm. And he was very bitter about it. And maybe that was influenced by it, you know? It was...
Sounds like that could be true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like a definitive statement on marriage.
But let's cheer ourselves up with a little bit of Jose Gonzalez with Down the Line.
Jorge Gonzalez.
Yeah, that was the Smashing Pumpkins with That's the Way My Love Is. And before that, you heard Jose Gonzalez with Down the Line.
Is it racist to say Jorge Gonzalez?
Yes.
It is racist, isn't it? I was just checking, because I said that before as, like, you know, saying his name in a funny way, and then I thought, hang on, that's racist.
It is.
It's racialistic. I'm really sorry to Jorge and any of his fans or any people that I may have offended with that racialistic slur.
Mm. You know, that Jorge track was a little bit depressing as well.
Mm.
He was repeating the line, "Don't let the darkness eat you up," over and over again.
I like it when the darkness eats me up.
Do you?
A little bit.
Really?
Yeah, should we have some news?
Yeah, the news is read by Callum and Adrian.
Oh my gosh. That's Candy Payne with One More Chance. She's got so many things going on in there. She's got the tubular bells and the psychedelic sounding guitars and the strings in there, you know? And it sounds wonderful. Now, this is Adam and Joe here on Six Music, covering for Sean Keaveney, and it's time now for our serial thriller. This is the part of the show when we speak to one of our listeners. They pick a couple of tracks for us, and it enables myself and Joe just to go on a little breakfast mission. Now, I've got to be honest with you folks. We were supposed to talk to a lady named Pauline today, but she's not returning our calls. Yeah, we've tried her number. It just goes straight through to voicemail. So, Pauline, I really hope you're okay. I'm sure she's fine. She's probably just in bed. But, wow, you're missing out. Okay, Pauline, you could have been on the line with me and Joe. It's not going to happen, though. Luckily, we do have someone on the line, a journalist, I believe, named Simon Boston. Simon, are you there?
Hello, Adam. Hi.
Hi, Simon. Where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Helsinki, actually, Adam. I'm doing a piece for the free city newspaper, City AM.
City AM.
A piece on European fish quotas. So I'm actually in a hotel in Helsinki.
Are you?
It's freezing. I'm freezing my cobblers off.
I bet you are in Helsinki.
Keep it chattering.
Yeah, it's weird, because Joe just stepped out. Actually, for a second, he went to the lavvy, and strange, you sound similar.
He's my, of the two of you, he's my favourite.
Is he?
Joe, he's the taller, good-looking one.
Have you been enjoying the show this week, Simon?
Well, I wanted to say I haven't, no. I do think a lot of what you two prattle on about is puerile and schoolboyish humour.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm very much looking forward to Keaveney's return. And to be honest, I hope you, you know, leave as soon as possible.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
You talk too much.
Yeah.
And you don't play enough music, you know, six music, not six chit-chat.
Yeah.
And you'd be more suited to Radio 1, maybe. I think your humour's sloppy and silly, and there's very little financial information in the show. If you've got to keep in touch with the stock market like I do, then honestly, how am I supposed to with content like yours?
Yeah.
You know, the NASDAQ moves very fast.
Fair point.
And you seem to be incapable of delivering any sort of statistical financial information.
Yeah, good point. Thanks, Simon. Now, what's can I ask you, what's your favourite film?
My favourite film is Filofax with Jim Belushi.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you like that one?
Because sorry, it's very cold. Because of the Filofax.
Yeah. Do you really? And what's your favourite band, Simon Boston?
My favourite band is an American band called Filofax.
Okay. Is it? Yeah, right. And what have you picked for us today? Music-wise, Simon Boston.
I'd like to, I'd like, if possible, to choose a song by Modest Mouse called Float On.
Yeah, do you really like Modest Mouse?
Not particularly. I buy most of my CDs at car boot sales.
Yeah.
Anything that's under 50p, I'll go for. It just saves a lot of money.
And what's...
And Modest Mouse is something I got in a car boot sale in Beckenham in Kent.
Yeah.
It was 20 pence, and I quite like it.
And what about the next track?
The next track I'd like you to play some Beck. I'd like to hear the new Pollution.
Are you a big Beck fan?
Not particularly, no.
Right. Well, why don't you introduce our first track from the Serial Thriller today, and thank you very much indeed for talking to us, Simon Boston.
This is Simon Boston. This is Modest Mouse with Float On.
Cheers. Bye. Thanks, Simon.
I like that guy's voice. Do you think he talks like that always?
Yes, I do.
Can I have some oranges?
It sounds like a very hunky lady.
I'm going inside sport now.
See you inside.
Bye. Oh, it's nice.
Hey, when Sean Keaveney comes back on Monday, which some of you might be happy to hear about, he's got a brand new segment. It's called Happy Days with a Z. And the idea is that you get in touch with him and ask him to play a track that brings back special memories for you, that evokes a happy moment. So if you go to the BBC Six Music website, you'll see a little link called Happy Days, and Sean will be keen for you to click on that and nominate a track, and maybe put in there a little story as well about what it means to you.
Yeah.
Yeah? Hey, I've got a conspiracy theory.
Sorry,
do you want to hear my conspiracy theory?
Yeah, what?
Okay, this is... I'm actually quite excited about this conspiracy theory.
Is it a real one or is
it? Yeah, no, it's a real one.
Come on then.
Do you remember in the paper a couple of days ago, there was a very old woman who got to her 100th birthday and she had, this photo was in every single newspaper on Wednesday, I think.
And the spin on the story was that she smoked tabs.
She smoked all her life from the age of 7 till 100. And the photo, the same photo appeared in all the newspapers and it was of her birthday candles, which were three candles, a 1, a 0 and a 0. And the candles were alight. And she was lighting a fag off the number one.
Huh,
what? What a lovely way to celebrate your birthday.
With a ciggy.
Light a ciggy off the cake candle.
Delicious ciggy.
Happy birthday. Yeah, 100.
What have you got me? Oh, ciggies.
So I was thinking, this is a bit weird that this, this strange photos appeared in all the papers. Like, I was thinking, who supplied that photo to the papers?
Mm.
And then, is it a coincidence that the following day, the government announced the special new shocking photos?
Horror photos.
They were going to put on cigarettes.
That's right.
And the next day, all the papers had copies of these photos that they're going to put on cigarette packets to put you off smoking. One of a man with a huge tumour on his neck.
Yeah.
Another of open heart surgery.
Yeah.
Another of a man in a gas mask.
It's all bad.
It's all bad. It's a good conspiracy theory, don't you think?
Yeah, that's probably true.
I think the photo of the old lady Because that's the most bro-smoking photo you could possibly have.
That's right.
A happy old lady celebrating her birthday by lighting a fag off the cake candles.
Yeah, it certainly cheered me up a little bit.
It cheered you up?
Because I have the occasional...
The occasional tab smoker must have felt very happy.
Yeah.
And then when I saw the horror photos the next day, I'm sure I thought back to that. I thought, oh, that looks horrible. But what about the old lady?
Yeah.
She's
some
fine.
Some reporter out there needs to... So what do you say? Are you doubting the veracity of the actual story?
I'm saying that a vast percentage of stuff that you see in newspapers and magazines these days actually has a kind of secret agenda behind it.
I'm sure that's true. I don't doubt that that story was placed
to counteract marketing, right?
Yeah. I don't doubt that the story was placed there to counteract the negative associations of all the horror photos.
It was a preemptive strike.
By the smoking industry. But... Do you reckon even that the old lady was not a sincere 100-year-old tab smoker?
She's a real person,
yeah, right.
I think.
Yeah.
But being exploited by the tobacco lobby.
Imagine if we went undercover and found out that she wasn't...
Undercover mums.
That actually she'd never smoked a tab in her life. And she was just a model.
She'd had one put in her hand.
Yeah. What a scandal that would be.
What a
scandal. It's a scandal. Maybe the pigeon detectives could look into
Let's set the pigeon detectives onto it.
Okay.
Go, pigeon detectives!
That's Take Aback by Pigeon Detectives. They're the ones with the two stags butting their horns on the
They're
cover
not
their
stags.
Album. What are they?
Are they stags or are they kudus?
I assumed they were stags because their whole raison d'etre, the pigeon detectives, as far as I can tell, is kind of laddish fighting behaviour and being dirty.
Yeah, boys. There's a lot of elk-like creatures on music posters at the moment. There's one with a big kudu on it. You know, a kudu's a kind of an African creature with curly horns.
Uh-huh. There's Interpol, the Interpol
That's Interpol.
Album.
The kudu is on Interpol.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's being taken down by some tigers, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That's right, a tiger attacking a kudu.
Yeah.
Yeah, a very noble creature, the kudu.
Yeah, do you know a lot about the kudu then, John?
I do know a certain amount about the kudu. I have a kudu head in my house.
No, you don't.
Yep, my grandpa shot it years and years and years ago. He's dead now.
Yeah.
But he shot it like...
He was shot by a kudu.
No, the kudu didn't shoot him.
Oh.
They can't hold guns, they haven't got fingers.
Can they not?
No.
Have they not got special?
He shot it when that sort of thing was acceptable.
Right.
Years and years ago. And he was so ashamed of what he did.
Right.
He became a vegetarian, and he kept the kudu head so he could sort of apologise to it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, every morning, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
Sorry about
it's
the
a lovely kudu.
Shooting head. Yeah. Sorry about that.
But we recently had it restored because it was a bit kind of, it was getting a bit old.
Did you put a little voice box in it so it could say, hello, it's all right, mate?
No,
every time you said sorry.
We
it's
actually,
all right.
We actually had it reanimated.
Did you?
By wizards. We went to King's Cross.
By DreamWorks.
We went to the Harry Potter platform.
Mm-hmm.
We managed to run into the pillar. We got through, yes. We went to Hogwarts. You know where this is heading, don't
yes.
you?
Yes, I do.
Anyway, they
Go
managed
on, say
to,
it.
They went, Kuduium Restoriatus. And it came back to life.
Yeah.
And now it lives in my kitchen and it does big kudu pops all over the floor.
Mm-hmm. That's a good story, man. Now, will you tell us about... What? Go on. You had something else to say. You
no,
were going to say Harry Potter, weren't you?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, then. Now, tell us about the...
Harry Potter.
Here we go. What's the name of this feature again?
This is called the Rebel Playlist.
There you go.
It's a feature from Steve Lamacq's show. Check out Steve Lamacq's page on the Six Music website, or listen from 4 p.m. Monday to Friday for details of this week's Rebel Playlist vote. I think the Rebel Playlist is a kind of... Rebel playlist.
Yeah.
The normal playlist is obeys orders.
Right.
It's very disciplined, subservient. This playlist doesn't give up a potato about anything.
That's right. It's stuff that you wouldn't find on the Six Ooh. Music playlist normally. That's my first slip, kind of. I haven't done that. What's the track that we're going to play? This is Gallows with In the Belly of a Shark from the Rebel playlist. Yeah, boy.
What a frightful business.
That was Gallows with In the Belly of a Shark. I like that. I enjoy shouting music.
The belly of a whale isn't good enough for them. It was good enough for Jonah, but as far as Gallows are from the Bible, but as far as Gallows are concerned, being in the belly of a whale is for wussies.
Mm.
They've got in the belly of a shark.
Exactly. And there's teeth on the inside of this one.
Is that true?
No.
Having said that, it's not that impressive to be in the belly of a shark. You might have just... been in your SpongeBob SquarePants swimming trunks on a Lilo, maybe with an inflatable duck's head.
Right.
Listening to Bucks Fizz.
Right.
Suddenly, you're consumed by a shark.
Well, this is the thing. If you're in the belly of a whale, like Jonah, or many of the other people who've been in whales.
Who else has been in whales? A whale?
Kelly Jones.
Yeah.
From the Stereophonics.
Yeah, the guy from the cider advert.
Mm.
Doesn't he end up in the belly of a whale? Do you remember that advert?
Yeah. Man, there's a load of people. Pinocchio.
That's true. Well done.
With Geppetto.
Does Geppetto go in there too?
Yeah, he ends up in the whale. Yeah, they have to tickle its...
Most people at some point or another have been in the belly of a whale.
They have to tickle the whale's uvula.
I've been in the belly of a whale.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've been in the belly of an architect.
Really?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Was it?
What was it like in the belly of a whale?
It's stinky.
Yeah.
But it was the only way I could afford to get to Calais.
Exactly.
Mm, it's cheaper than the hovercraft.
Well, that brings us very neatly to news time. And it's read by...
By two of our favourite newsreaders,
Callum and Adrian.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It's time for Text the Nation, the nation's favourite feature.
Yeah. We should put that jingle up on the Six Music website, shouldn't we? And then people could download it and use it as a text sound.
Yeah.
Maybe
it'll become the new national anthem. Maybe the Queen will hear it.
We could charge for it. You know, we never charge for these things,
man. Should charge a lot for
this. This is why we are struggling this, you know.
Struggling what?
Struggling minstrels.
Struggling, full stop.
Yeah.
We should charge maybe £50.
£50.
People
would
download.
Easily pay for that.
Well,
definitely.
A couple would, and you'd make more money out of the couple of stupid people than you would if you charged a little.
That's
from
right.
The sensible people.
You could make £100.
That's how shops like Harrods operate.
Right, from stupid people who are willing to pay
really
that.
Just really rich idiots.
Yeah. That's just our opinion, of course.
That's not true, actually.
Not the views of the Big British Castle.
Last time I went to Harrods...
Mm.
I walked past Mohammed Al Fayed.
Did you?
Yeah, it was like going to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and meeting Willy Wonka.
Well, you know, Al Fayed was shopping in the King's Road the other day when I happened to be down there, and there was a huge crowd of people gathered around outside the shop. There was cops holding people back.
Really?
Traffic was stopping. I was like, who's in there, for goodness sake? Cameron Diaz? And it was, no, it's Al Fayed. I was amazed.
No, anyway, it's Text the Nation time. And this is the part of the show where we ask you to text us and we read them out. It's as simple as that.
It's really that simple.
But there's one added complexity. The texts need to be on a particular theme. And the theme today is disastrous parties.
Party disasters. Mm. Disastrous parties. And, you know, everyone has got, surely, at least one story of a party disaster.
Parties are supposed to be a brilliant time when everyone's having fun and stuff, especially birthday parties. Or a party for a special occasion, but more often than not, they turn into a disaster.
And this is any kind of party, as you mentioned, you know, a birthday party. Mm. It could be like a child's birthday party. It could be a celebration for your 80-year-old father or whatever. It doesn't have to be like a raucous teen party. It could be any sort of party anecdote or disastrous story. What are your ones that spring to mind, Joe Cornish?
Well, the key party in my memory is one that my brother had when he was about maybe 16 or 15.
When you would have been how old?
When I would have been about 12 or 13,
right.
Sort of thing.
Proto-party. That was a very
It was
early...
a proto-party. My brother decided he would boost his popularity at school by having a big party.
Yeah, good move.
Now, it still happens these days, but kind of school parties always get out of control, don't they?
Difficult move at 16, I would say.
Because you don't know when to stop inviting people.
Uh-huh.
And the whole invitation thing can snowball, word gets out. Before you know it, the entire school is heading to your little house on a Saturday night, you know?
And not so much because they care about hanging out with you.
Because they want to destroy your house.
They pretty much just want somewhere to destroy.
So this kind of happened to my brother. My parents went away for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly on a Saturday night, hundreds of drunk, kind of old, they seemed to me old people came piling into my house.
Yeah.
I had the option to go and stay with a friend, but I was frightened about my bedroom. I thought they might invade my bedroom and touch each other in peculiar ways on my bed.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd stay home and defend my bedroom.
Right, barricade
myself in. And I did.
Yeah.
And I felt violated.
Yeah,
I felt as if 100 horrible, stinking burglars had broken in to my sacrosanct palace of selfness.
Yeah.
My mummy and daddy.
Your fortress of solitude.
And they were behaving like out-of-control Vikings. They pulled the sink away from...
Shut up.
...from the wall in they the never. Pink bathroom.
Did they?
They did. They spilt wine on the wall away. Of the sitting room.
Mummy and Daddy.
Daddy painted that wall.
Oh.
And some brutish man spilt red wine on it.
What did they... Did
anyway,
they?
So oh. I was very grumpy and I decided, well, I'll go and try and join him. So I went down and I tried to tell jokes at the party older girl, and she liked it. She was very drunk. I think she sort of fancied me in a kind of a cute sort of pet sort of way.
Yeah.
And she tried to impress me by driving me around the block in her car.
What?
She was very drunk.
This is a recipe for total
she
disaster.
Was wavering from the right to the left, trying to impress me with her drunken driving skills.
That's terrifying.
I was very glad to be alive when we got back. And at the end of this story is, that traumatized me so much, I went back up to my room, locked the door. There's like horrible noise coming up from the room below. And I hid under my desk and I wrote on my desk in felt pen, I hate parties. I will never have one in my life. I wrote in green felt pen. Yeah.
So there you go. Have you got a similar story? I'll tell you my party disaster stories in just a second. But we'd like to hear from you. What's the deets, Joe?
The what?
That's what the kids say, isn't it?
The deets are 64046 to text and email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
That is the deets.
And, you get me?
And this is the song, the Builder's Song. All about the stuff you use. It's a catalyst. It's a kind of catalyst. I forget what it does. This is Cajun Dance Party. There you go. Sean Keaveney back with you next week. And this is Adam and Joe here filling in for him. We've had a wonderful time for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, into the last 77 minutes of our fill-in tenure here at BBC Six Music. We've had a great time, by the way. We'll say proper thank yous at the end of the show, but we've loved doing it.
Yeah, it's been very good.
Yeah,
thanks a lot for all your messages and texts. And we are asking you to keep those texts and messages coming in right now. Because we're right in the middle of our feature, Text the Nation. And today, I'll stop doing that voice. we are asking you to tell us about party disasters you've had. We've already got quite a witty, I'm starting that voice again, text in from someone called John. Was it called
No,
John?
James in Fulham.
James,
James in Fulham has texted us in saying... The Tory party. That's pretty disastrous.
Thanks very much for that one, James.
I'll pass it on to Mock the Week.
I like that
I can
one.
Use that one.
Liked it very much.
Mm.
True. Okay. now, we were talking about... Joe was reminiscing further about that little party nightmare that he had there, and basically saying that ever since that time, you know, he's not really enjoyed parties very much per se. And I agree. You know, parties are overrated. The older you get, the more you realise... One thing that's better than a party is not going to a party.
You know, sorry to interrupt you, listeners, but it might be interesting for you to note that Adam and I have known each other since we were 13. And we pretty much made a tactical decision aged, what, 14 or 15?
Yeah.
That we didn't really like big parties.
No.
And that our preferred social gathering was about six carefully vetted close friends.
Well, also that was fact, it. Coupled with the fact that we didn't know any girls.
Right.
Made it quite sort of, you know, the best idea for us for a Friday night was six of us would go round to our mate's house. Sometimes it was our friend.
We wouldn't call him a mate, though.
No.
We'd call him
those days.
Yeah, a friend.
A chum. And one of our chums had a lovely big house in Fulham somewhere. It was a really posh man. And his parents were away. Do you remember this? For a weekend. And so we went around there. We were really excited.
Is this your story now?
Yeah.
Your party disaster.
Because we had the run of the place, And we were well overexcited. So we thought, okay, what we should do is dress up.
Even though it's just six boys
in a room.
Well, hang on a second. Wasn't it Halloween?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there was one on Halloween we did dress up, but another time...
We just dressed up because it was Friday and we were going to have a little party.
What did we dress up in?
So we dressed up in...
We raided the cupboard in the guy's house and
we
dressed up in his parents' clothes.
In his parents' clothes. We put his dad's suit jackets on. There's photographs of all this. I might try and put some up on my website one day. And there's a photograph of me... With no shirt on, but just a jacket on, and a Stetson hat, and one of the bloke's father's ties tied round my head, and you're wearing more or less, you're wearing a dinner jacket. You've also got no shirt on, but you've got a bow tie and a white dinner jacket.
Like a very thin Chippendale.
Yeah. We both look like the gayest little boys ever in the world.
I think we were.
Yeah. And we had a wonderful time at these things.
That's the one award we've won in our career.
That's right. The gayest little boys ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Award.
We used to have a blast, man. And anyway, we had a great time. It was a perfect party, you know.
That's not a disaster, though, is it?
It ended up in disaster.
Okay.
Because, you know, we were having a couple of drinkies. We'd seen the film Betty Blue, and in that film, they do this thing called instant margaritas or something. And basically, you do it like the ingredients of a margarita in a shot glass, and then you add a little bit of fizzy lemonade or whatever at the last moment, and then you slam it. They're sort of tequila slammers, I guess, but they're fizzy. And so we were doing these, and we were getting pretty tooty. Then things got out of hand, and we started grooving around to maybe the House Martins or something like that. And then someone shoved someone. I think
wasn't it you and Louis Theroux?
Maybe, yeah. And Louis shoved me, and I went backwards onto the glass table.
The
valuable glass table in the room of this really posh house. Ooh,
the
baby.
Table smashed, didn't it?
Yeah, it smashed into a million pieces. And after that, we were just like, okay, this is bad. This is really bad. And it was like the Yellow Pages advert, because the parents were coming back the next day.
Early the next day, early flight.
And we were all pretty mashed, and we couldn't figure out what we were going to do about this. It was really bad. And it ended badly. It ended pretty badly, because it was irreparable. There was no way we were going to get it fixed. So no more parties around at his place. Anyway, we want to hear more about your party disasters in just a second. Keep texting us and emailing us. But right now, here's a classic from a little band called The Beatles. They're pretty good, aren't they, The Beatles, with I'm Looking Through You. This is Adam and Joe here on Six Music.
You know, can I say something controversial?
Oh, go on then.
I've never really got into The Beatles.
Well, you think they're overrated, do you?
No, I don't have any opinion, really. I like the ones that are famous.
What's your problem? They're just overplayed. You think, well, there's nothing for me here.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
That is wrong.
I kind of feel as if I'm saving them up for later in life.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, they're not overplayed anyway, because you can't license
Beatles tracks.
They're
not played
that
much, actually.
No, generally. Like, they don't turn up on commercials.
One day I'll get heavily into them.
They're wicked, man. They're really good.
So I hear.
Yeah.
We've been asking you to text in your party disasters, fantastic nights of jubilation that turn into hideous nights of traumatization.
Mm-hmm.
The text number is 64046. The email is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Are you ready for some, Adam?
Hit me.
Okay, here we go. Once at Halloween, this is from Pops in Kent. Pops? Pops!
Pops!
Once at Halloween, I had a party, and only one friend made a costume.
Uh-huh.
She was so upset, she slammed a hot pizza into my face like a mud pie.
Whoa.
It's okay, I'm not scarred.
She was upset because she just felt humiliated. She was the only one dressed up.
Yeah, why would she be upset?
That's the reason I just said there.
It's strange, isn't it? But that doesn't sound like a satisfactory reason to me.
No, there was something else going on, surely. That sounds like a
strange
bad one,
Pops. Here's another one. This is from somebody anonymous. We once ripped out the fence and burnt it with 5 litres of lawnmower fuel and aerosols after a family barbecue.
Oh, my Lord.
My dad told us off in his PJs and we laughed, drunk.
Sounds
that's
like
just
a
from
nightmare.
Some awful Asbo family somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Tony Blair's Britain for you,
Britain's
though.
Worst family. Thanks for that text, though.
Keep them coming in.
Here's Edwin Collins right now with You'll Never Know.
The fantastic Edwin Collins with You'll Never Know. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's time for the news, read by Callum and Adrian.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It's the nation's favourite feature, Text the Nation, here on Six Music. This is Adam and Joe, and we are asking you to email us or text us about party disasters you've had, things that have gone wrong, or whole parties that have just turned out to be a complete nightmare. And, Joe, you've got a couple of messages there.
Yeah, I've set my microphone a bit too high.
You know what you can do?
What?
It'll
make a noise.
Move it down.
There we go. Okay.
There we go.
Dear Adam and Joe, this is an email from Sam. The worst party of my life was a few years ago. It was the beginning of the last year of school, and one of the cool gang at school was having a huge birthday party.
Watch out for the cool gang.
I went with my friend, got extremely drunk extremely quickly, and started throwing up. For some reason, even though I was outside when I started throwing up, I ran inside to find a bathroom. But they were all being used, so I ran into a bedroom and threw up on the bed.
Nice.
Then I passed out. Presumably in the vomit.
Good times.
That's something I added, a bit of colour. When I woke up, I was surrounded by chavs, listening to jungle music and telling each other to, quote, take off his pants.
What?
I was in a state of torpor.
Oh, this is a bloke?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Sam, we don't know. I was in a state of torpor and couldn't move for a few minutes. I just had to lie there, paralysed, enduring the terror of being violated. Eventually, I managed to get up, and I found that I was covered in shaving foam and toothpaste and hair. I felt around my head and realised that my ponytail, I had long hair at the time, had been cut off. Both my eyebrows had been shaved. Running downstairs, I found my friend Max, who explained that the cutting had been done by my then best friend in front of almost everybody at the party while I was unconscious.
That's the kind of behaviour that parties create, you see.
Throughout this, I still had toothpaste caked into my face and was in a zombie-like state of incoherence. Max and I got a taxi home. I can still remember the horror on my dad's face the next morning when he saw me standing before him.
Your poor dad.
The nightmare lived on for the whole year in school, as so many people had been present.
Oh, man, that is horrific.
That's terrible.
That's a good one as well, because I've seldom heard the story from the other person's,
point of view. Magazines like Loaded used to be full of pictures of, like, people who'd done that to one another. But there is beautifully expressed the suffering from the other side of the fence.
Of the victim.
The flip side of the coin.
Thank you very much indeed for that one, Sam. Keep those texts and emails coming in on the subject of party disasters stroke nightmares. Time for my free choice now. This is my last free choice of our stint, and I can't resist playing another track from Spoon's amazing album, Gar 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 Gar. This one is called Don't You Ever. Dig it! That's Spoon with Don't You Ever from their album Gar 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 Gar, which is an embarrassment of riches, I strongly recommend.
That's good, that track. In fact, I preferred it to the one you played all last week.
Yeah, well, The Underdog we played last week as our single, breakfast single of the week, and it's The Underdog is less typical of the album as a whole. I would say that track is more typical. Now it's time for the breakfast single of the week. This is your one, isn't it?
Why can't we have some more party disasters first?
Yeah, well, let's have a couple more.
Okay, we're asking you to text in your party disasters in our Text the Nation feature. Things that have gone hideously wrong on nights that are supposed to be brilliantly right. That's good, wasn't it?
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. Here's one from Becky, whose email, I won't give out the full email, but it's Becky at Waxworlds. Mm. Is that some kind of fantastic wax museum, do you think? Or just the country's biggest candle shop?
Or a big kind of ear cleaning laboratory?
A giant sort of earwax factory.
Mm-hmm.
Who can tell? But here's her party disaster. Hi, Adam. Hi, Joe. My party nightmare story happened when we were at uni. There was a house party and, of course, a bonfire in the back garden. Now, I've got to interrupt the text, the email at that point. Parties where people sort of start impromptu bonfires, I'd say that's bad, isn't it?
It's instantly bad.
When people start piling stuff up in their garden and setting light to it, that's
pretty
Lord of the Flies behaviour.
Yeah, no good
that's
can come
like
of that.
Tribal sort of stuff.
Exactly, because it gets primal at that point, you know? Mix of a bonfire and booze, that's disaster.
Fire, you just don't want fire
total
around.
Disaster.
Anyway, as the fire started to die down, we were picking up anything to hand and chucking it on. A girl at our university was in a wheelchair and had come to the party with crutches, too, so she could move around the party easier. Thanks for that detail. She came into the garden asking, "Has anyone seen my crutches?" Just in time to see them burning on top of the bonfire.
Nice.
It wasn't funny, but we couldn't stop laughing.
So they must have been wooden crutches as well, not those kind of metal NHS ones.
Here's one from Ricky Toner. It's a good surname.
It sounds like it could be one of those Simpsons names, you know?
Yeah.
Does it spell any... Does that...
What, is it an anagram of something?
No, Ricky, if you say it in a different way, does it say mean something
like Topsy Kretz?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Party disaster. At a crazy party, when NWA came on the stereo with a siren noise in the background, our friend thought it was a police bust and jumped out a first-story window, then disappeared into a dark field.
Whoa.
He missed the rest of the party, which was great.
I'm glad it ended like that. I thought it was going to say he jumped out of a first-story window, broke his legs, Never walked again.
No, he was just a very guilty man who'd done something wrong. Right. He heard the siren on the record and scarpered.
That's okay, then.
Here's one from Chris from Newcastle. I once had a student party in which a piano was dragged from a friend's house, then smashed to bits and burned in our front garden.
What?
You see, this is why parties are so wrong. People are so desperate to have fun, they realise they're not going to have any, like, touchy-feely fun, so they decide the only way they can have fun is by destroying things.
That's
a
right.
A piano, such a beautiful machine.
Yeah, yeah.
So intricate, because capable of making such lovely sounds, beaten to death by brutish troglodytes.
Well, this is the thing, is that at that age, especially when you're a teenager, the main thing on your mind is pants and trouser action.
Yeah,
you know, you would like to see some pants and trousers being taken off. So you go there. Of course, the mixture of booze and high expectations is not conducive to romantic behavior a lot of the time. Do you know what I mean? So the best you can get is a fumble that you'll probably regret the next day. And the very worst you get
I've never regretted a fumble.
Is totally destructive behavior and people going completely mental.
So here's the end of this text. They've got the piano. They've dragged it into the garden. We thought the neighbors might ring the police, but instead they brought their toddler out to watch.
Well, they were happy about it in the end.
Blur's Britain. Thanks very much, Tony Blur.
So, breakfast single of the week, Joe. This is your one.
We've been playing this all week. This is the terrific King Creosote with a track called... What's it called?
You've no clue, do you?
You've no clue, do you? This is BBC Six Music. This is Adam and Joe, the last 37 minutes of our final fill-in breakfast show, filling in here for Sean Keaveney. Coming up pretty soon, we've got the result of, what's it called? Band-Aid. Adam and I, we wrote a song each. You've been logging onto the website and voting for which one you want to hear via a little sample of each on the website. Up until yesterday, I was winning my Euro track. European Supermarket was winning. Mm. But overnight, something strange has happened, which I'm sure has something to do with Adam breaking into the Big British Castle and messing with the electronics of the computer. And his track has leapt into the lead.
Yeah, it's quite a significant lead now as
well. But might the runner-up get played as well? Yeah, the runner-up will get played, but... the runner-up doesn't get the sort of the king spot at the very, very end of the show.
The kudos. I love kudos. Could I have another slice of kudos, please? Tasty.
Okay, we're still in the middle of Text the Nation. The most, yeah, you know what I'm going to say. It's a good one, isn't it? You know, it's the feature it and all wicked. That, isn't it?
It's
and we've like had another text
the
in,
king
right,
of the features,
Adam?
Yes.
This is from Nico in Düsseldorf.
Oh, hello, Nico.
Hello, Nico. I had a party when I was 16. Far too many people came.
Mm.
They were all crowding outside and climbing through the windows in a Night of the Living Dead style.
Oh,
that's nice.
Yeah.
I had to lock all the windows and doors, but then got so drunk that I lost the keys. Now, that it's not finished. I'm just pausing in the middle there for a bit of editorial. That's an interesting point because, of course, parties, if you have your own party, you're expected to control it,
right,
but also have fun. Which is utterly contradictory.
Yeah.
So you get slowly drunk, and this is one of the main problems with parties, and you become unable to control your own environment.
That's right.
Because you're so wazzocked.
Stumbling
around.
Is that
the correct word?
Yes, that is the correct term.
I had to lock all the doors and windows, but then got so drunk that I lost the keys. Some of them climbed the drainpipe and came in through the tiniest toilet window you can imagine. It's like a horror film.
It is a horror film.
The problem is they broke the toilet. First I knew of it was when filthy water started pouring through the kitchen ceiling.
Oh, no!
Nico! When everyone finally started leaving, the only way out was through my bedroom window. My older cousin arrived to discover the scene. Her punishment for me was to make me cut the lawn with scissors.
That's poetic.
That sounds nightmarish.
That is horrific.
Our hearts go out to you.
You know, when you're in that state as well, at the end of the night, you're already starting to get a little bit hungover. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the house stinks of cigs and everywhere's just a mess. And you've got a major plumbing problem on your hands. You know
major
what I mean?
Major plumbing problem.
And it's coming through the ceiling. And especially if it's revolting, filthy toilet water or whatever, your brain is reeling. You're just thinking, what am I going to do? Because I don't know plumbing. Yeah. And
It's a terrible business. And you know what? These are quite retro stories. I think parties have got even worse.
Even more horrific.
Because of MySpace and texting. Like, imagine how many people used to come in our day when you had to actually pick up the phone to communicate with somebody.
Mm.
Now, you post your party on MySpace, and by the next morning, it's like a crazy episode of sexy E4 sitcom com
skins. Skins. That's what it's like, isn't it?
Girls, boys, who cares? Skins.
We've got the muse. The muse? Here is the muse. No, the news is coming up soon, but first, here's a lovely track from Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. This is Egyptian Reggae. Very good indeed. That's Jonathan Richman with Egyptian Reggae. Hey, this is Adam and Joe. We're on Six Music covering for Sean Keaveney. This is our last day. Yeah. Only half an hour left of the program.
A moment ago, Adam made a false declaration that the news was coming up, and it scared the newsreaders.
Yeah.
You might think that they're hardened, battle-scarred types reading all the terrible news every day, but no, they're like timid little sweet mice.
Because it's not like Radio 4, there's no pips, you know? So no. We just have to sort of approximate that the news is going to come up.
Well, now you're just making excuses.
On the half
for your
hour.
Announcement.
Well, no, I was teasing the news.
They've sent us an email saying, you scared us. We thought we were on air.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Well, very soon, you will be on air.
In fact, right now, because here is the BBC Six Music News, read by Callum and Adrian.
Squeeze with Pulling Muscles from Michelle. This is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. Now, I think we should probably wrap up Text the Nation right now, which is our favourite feature. The Nation's
hey,
favourite
the Nation's
feature.
Not ours. We hate it.
We
the
like
Nation
it.
Love it, though, and demand it continues. We had a strange text in from somebody called Tim. We've been asking for kind of party disasters. I don't know, these don't seem like disasters to me.
Come on, let's
shall I read it?
Yeah.
I held a small gathering for the Boozy Boys. That's myself and Ian and his brother Neil.
Watch out.
Chaos ensued when Neil drank too many cans of Carling and went to the toilet and was nearly sick.
Ooh.
So he wasn't actually sick, he was nearly sick. The text continues. The havoc didn't end there. Was that havoc? Being nearly sick? Neil later trod on my copy of Who's Next, which had been misplaced on the floor. Don't worry, though. The disc itself was in the player and not scratched. It was one cracked CD case too many, though, and we haven't drunk or spoken since.
Whoa! Who's that from, Neil?
Tim.
Tim sounds fair. He's, like, got a tight rein on his life.
Going around Tim's house is like walking on eggshells.
It really is.
Walking on Who CD sleeves. That's not really a party, Tim. That's just two friends coming round and having one bit of beer. B, nearly being sick does not constitute havoc or even an accident. And C, cracking a CD case, you know, most people wouldn't worry about that just during an average day, let alone during a party.
Give him a call. I think maybe it's time to bury the hatchet.
Yeah.
What a party, though. I've nearly been sick!
Woohoo!
I think I've trodden on one of your CDs!
I like punk music. I hate the world and the system. To demonstrate it, everybody watch closely. I'm going to stamp on a CD case. But take the CD out first.
Take the CD out.
Pop it in the player.
It's okay,
don't
the CD's
want to
fine.
Scratch CD. I stamped on the Who.
Mike's fallen over in the corridor.
Mike said bum. I'm calling the party off. Mike says bum. Go home.
Who said bum? Get out of my house. Thanks for your...
That sounds like our kind of party,
yeah,
actually.
I like that party.
It's time for the album of the day. It's the album of the day here on Six Music is Public Enemy's new album. Now, Adam and I are kind of obsessed with Public Enemy and the way they title their albums. Early in their career, they had some quite clever titles, but then their album titling started to go wrong. We think about the time that they released the album Apocalypse 91, The Enemy Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it started just getting a bit cumbersome. Then they released the album Muse Sick Our Mess Age. This funny technique of like taking a phrase and splitting it into separate words and trying to make it mean two things. You know, that was a reasonable one. Muse Sick Our Mess Age. What does that actually mean?
The muse is sick because of the messiness of the age.
Okay. Then they released one in 2005 called New World Order.
Yeah, like New World Order, you see, but no, it's a New World Odor.
What? That's like a stinky ballroom dancer.
I know, it just makes you think
of it. It does a twirl and, like, emanates a bit of a stench.
Toilet fresheners or whatever, you know, like toilet duck or whatever.
Do you think?
And the new album is called, what is it called? Oh, yes, here we go. Check it out. The new album by Public Enemy is called How to Sell Soul to Soulless People Who Sold Their Soul.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't need to go into that, because if they're soulless, yeah, that's the nature of having sold your soul, is being soulless. So you don't need to spell it out. Professor Griff. Is he still in Public Enemy, Professor Griff?
I think he was chucked out, wasn't he?
He was
being
out.
Too radical.
He was a bit anti-Semitic, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's hardly being too radical, being anti-Semitic. He was just a bad, nasty man.
Yeah, I think he said sorry, though. Maybe they took him back. And anyway. But Public Enemy, talented band, and this is they've been around 20 years. No, 20 years ago was It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold
Us. Yeah,
they
have been around 20 years.
There you go.
And this song, Eve of Destruction, is a cover of Barry Maguire's 1965 protest song. And you can hear more tracks from this album throughout the day here on Six Music. Here's Public Enemy, Eve of Destruction.
There you go, Stephen Merchant's show coming up on Sunday on Six Music between 3 and 5.
Now, it's we've closed the voting on Band Aid.
Yeah.
The exciting part of the show that we sort of hijacked from Sean Keaveney, but we changed it from being a young unsigned band to being two tracks specially authored by Adam and I. It was my sort of Euro house track, European Supermarket, versus Adam's track, Jane's Brain. Are we going to unveil the winner right now? No, we're not. We're going to tease it a little bit more. But there's a clue. I'm angry.
Joe's furious.
I'm not just upset. I'm actually angry.
He's genuinely
angry. I don't mind, you know, were it the case that I hadn't won, I wouldn't mind. It's just the fact that life seems to make, you know, it seems to torture me. It makes me think I've done something good right until the last minute.
Yeah.
Then it punches me in the face.
Listen.
And it's happened again today, and I've got psychological problems, and this just might be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Who can vouch for the whims of the public?
Might be the day to do the thing I've always tried to stop myself from doing.
What's that? Going to the gym?
Yeah. Start exercising. Anyway, we're going to reveal the amazing result of Band Aid in a second, but first, it's time for my free play. Now, I've got a confession to make. When we first started doing this show, I just dragged a whole lot of tunes out of my computer onto a CD that I'd like to hear on the radio. Couple of them I might have accidentally dragged over, you know, by a mistake. I might have been a bit slapdash. This isn't one of those, though. This is a track I love. It's either by the Jimmy Carter Bunch or the Jimmy Carter Bunch. We're not sure. It's called It's Just Begun. I love this. Let's hear it. Nice accidental choice.
That's good, man. It can't be the Jimmy Carter Bunch. It's got to be
the Jimmy Carter Bunch, yeah, with I've Just Begun. Famously sampled in a lot of very good hip-hop, including the Jungle Brothers.
There you go. So good accidental choice there.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it is time in the last 7 minutes of the show for us to announce the winner of Band Aid.
Yeah.
For this week. We don't have a drum roll or anything like
that. No, but here is the result in a golden envelope.
That's it.
Open the envelope. That's the sound of an envelope opening, isn't
it? That's good, man.
Yeah.
That's weak.
The winner with 60% against 40% is Adam.
Hey.
With Jane's Brain.
Thank you very much. Thank you, listeners. I feel as if you've made the right choice on the one hand, but then on the other hand, I feel a little bit guilty.
Yeah, listen to these tracks, listeners, and then, you know, think about yourselves, think about your lives, think about the criteria you use for making not just this decision, but all decisions in your life.
Come on, the clip was pretty powerful stuff, but we're not going to hear my song first because it's the winning track, so...
Right, here's the losing track. This is a song I wrote. My name's Joe Cornish. I wrote it about, you know, what it's like to go shopping in Europe in a supermarket. I don't know why I bothered, but here it is, European Supermarket.
European Supermarket, European Supermarket. Which is butter, which is cheese? Won't somebody help me, please? A mini break in Amsterdam. What's the fitting touch for ham?
European Supermarket.
I've got to eat, I can't afford to waste my money while abroad. Look how cheap a box of wine goes. We'll all get smashed for 30 euros.
European Supermarket.
Fireworks in party bags. Sweets with silly names in stacks. European shopping fever. In Paris, Berlin and Geneva.
European Supermarket.
Tourist grocery confusion.
What the heck was going on in the chorus there?
That was European Supermarket. You're going to be hearing that a lot in Ibiza, you know, on the European dance floors, in the kind of gay house scene.
Yeah.
That's going to be really big. That was the losing track, ladies and gentlemen, in Band-Aid this
week. Well, that was very good, man. I really liked that one.
Thanks, man. So, if that was the losing track...
How good can the good track be?
How good can the good track be?
Well, you know, I've always liked short songs, you know.
Mm.
Great Balls of Fire by Jerry Lee Lewis.
How long was that?
That was about 1 minute, 40 seconds or
right,
something.
Right, so over three times the length of yours.
Maybe. Pixies, Allison.
Yeah. How long was that?
Around 1 minute, 20 seconds.
Mm, three times the length of yours.
okay, so mine is more of a, it's almost like a jingle mine, but right. I believe that great rock music shouldn't outstay its welcome. And
hey, what are you implying? About European Supermarket.
Well, it's not really rock track though, yours.
That's true, that's true. Know, I'm it just is, it is a great
mine track. Is in the tradition of the Ramones, something like that. It's very brief and punchy and explosive. Let's just hear it, shall we? This is called Jane's Brain.
Oh yeah, her name was Jane, she had a brain and it lived in her head. She'd use her brain to think of things that she didn't have. She'd think of cars and she'd think of fancy dresses and she'd think of big houses and she'd think of cars. She liked cars very much indeed. If she had one, she would drive around and go shopping. She used the car to put her shopping inside and then she'd drive back to her house and unpack her shopping and she'd eat it.
Both shopping-related songs.
Yeah.
You know what, Adam? I'm going to give you European Supermarket, and maybe you could put it up on your website.
Hey, I will do.
So, you know, anybody who liked it, the 40% of intelligent listeners, refined listeners, can download it and enjoy it.
Yeah, you can find my website at adam-buxton.co.uk.
In fact, if you've enjoyed our tenure here at BBC Six Music and want to find out more about our silly burblings, then just pop our names into the internet and you can follow a sort of digital bread trail that'll lead you to all sorts of audiovisual
and if
nuggets.
You were infuriated and disgusted by our tenure here, we apologise humbly, but it's over now, don't worry about
Sean
it.
Sean Keaveney will be back on Monday morning. Yeah. We'd very much like to thank our producer Lisa and Jenny, our lovely lady assistant.
And Millie.
And Millie, yeah, who've been great support. Thanks very much for listening, everybody, for the last
couple
of weeks.
And what's the name of the little chap in the jellyfish suit?
Oh, yeah, quickly, Phil.
And I'm feeling really well, aren't I? We really want to thank you for all your messages and texts and everything, but we just got a really lovely one from a little chap who was sent us a picture of him in a jellyfish suit.
It's gone.
Oh, he's gone.
But thanks to the parents of the little boy in the jellyfish suit. I think his name is Harvey.
Harvey, there you go. Yeah, thanks a lot. Cheers for listening, Harvey.
We'll see you soon.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. Bye.
Bye.